Hello, everyone. This is Kate, and welcome to another episode of When Life Gives You Lessons. That's right. We're on to another episode. Okay, yeah. First of all, thank you so much for joining me for another episode. It's episode 11 today. I don't really have a script. I feel like I have enough on my mind that I want to talk about. So, you know, I just figured I would just turn on the mic and see how it goes. But yeah, I've just been thinking a lot about this specific theme because I have recently been promoted and I've had this these past few months to kind of assess and go over my my career and everything that I've learned, you know, as a professional. So I thought I would share something related to that, you know, because I want to make sure that I'm sharing lessons related to my life and how they contributed to my overall growth. I wanted to focus on what happens or what should you do when you end up in a situation where you're working with someone who you don't particularly get along with. And even if you're trying to keep it professional, you know, things may get a little weird or there may be some sort of like borderline bullying happening or what have you. And kind of like how to go about those situations in a work setting. I mean, I've obviously, if you've listened to some of my previous podcasts, particularly the one where, you know, I mentioned my magnet story in school. I've had some experience with bullying when I was a kid. I know what it is like to feel absolutely helpless. I know what it is like to hear very hurtful things from people that, you know, were supposed to be your friends, or even if they're not your friends, your peers. And it's just always very sad that we get to hear some of the things that, you know, some of us just get to hear growing up. And for me, obviously you go through bullying in middle school, maybe you'll have some in high school, but the expectation is, or at least that's what you kind of hope, right? That it ends there and it stays between kids. I've always, you know, from a young age, I try to control my own peace of mind and try to rationalize every time that bullying was directed at me. I think, you know, some things, I don't know if I'm going to say it right, but there's something about, you know, the fact that they might be talking to you, but you shouldn't really take it personally because it's just a reflection of their own insecurities. And thank God I did have that kind of perspective and way of seeing things from a young age. But then, you know, I've had some more situations in my life as I grew up that personally surprised me because they were given by people or in environments where I wasn't necessarily expecting them. Just to share a couple of my experiences, because I do feel like these things should be talked about and vocalized, and you shouldn't be, you know, afraid to really speak up about all these situations. Coming out of my whole situation that happened in middle school, I actually ended up moving schools. Going into high school, I moved to a new school. That's where I met Manel. That's where I met a lot of my friends that I still hold true to my heart to this day. So when I moved to that school, I was so surprised by the level of education that these kids had. I was coming from one private school to another, but the level, the quality of people was just beyond extraordinary. I remember coming into school every day in high school, that is, and everyone would just say hi, but like they would kiss each other hi, like hugging and, hi, how are you? How was yesterday? How did you sleep? Are you feeling well today? Like very polite, very interested in your overall like life and well-being. And I immediately coming into high school, being a new student and everything, I loved everyone's approach. I have honestly nothing negative to say about one single person. I think I was also very lucky about the class that I was put on, and everyone was just honestly really amazing. There was one situation, though, where I did have a very uncomfortable encounter that I would personally categorize as bullying with a teacher. Now, this is obviously a weird power dynamic as it is, right? First of all, this teacher was not my teacher. So my class was split into two. We had half of it was arts and half of it was like social studies, if you will. And I was in the social studies portion. The other half was arts. And so we had teachers that just pertained to, you know, the dedicated halves. And so there was this teacher in the arts section, and she was just not nice towards me. I have no idea. I've never really met with her. I've never engaged with her until our first encounter. And that then escalated into a series of other uncomfortable events. So the first thing that actually happened with this teacher was that I was coming into her class because I needed her to sign a book. So my teacher on my class asked me, hey, can you go to the arts class and have the teacher sign the book? They were all just painting something. So I remember there being paint and there were like little cups with water for the paint just spread around the room. And I knocked on the door. The class was very loud. They were just making a lot of noise inside. They were painting, they were talking, they were laughing, whatever. Like, they were having a good time. So I knocked on the door and no one heard. And so I opened the door and I started walking in, and the teacher caught me, you know, inside the classroom. She was like, what are you doing here? Not from this class. And I said, yes, I'm from the other half of the class. I'm just here because I need you to sign the book. And she said, well, you didn't ask me permission to be in my room. So you're in my class. So now you need to leave and I will tell you when you can come in. So she asked me to step away. I kindly did. You know, I didn't want to really make a fuss. Plus, she was a teacher. I was, you know, 15 years old. So I went outside. I closed the door and she's like, now you'll knock. And I open whenever I feel like I want to open it. And I did knock like two times. They were laughing inside. They were like, I could hear them, you know, the teacher kind of like teasing me and just joking about the whole situation, whatever. Then she lets me come in and I come in. She's like, hello, what are you here for? And I explained what I was there for. Again, she already knew. I took her the book. And then as I'm coming out of class, I accidentally stumble upon a cup that had water. So it just like it falls to the ground. And I turn to the guy that was painting and I say, I'm so sorry. Not my intention. He was like, no, that's totally chill. Don't worry about it. He had paper with him. He was just like, I just have these paper towels. I'll just cover it. And the teacher was like, absolutely not. She stopped him and she told me, do you see what you're doing? You're coming into my class and you're disturbing my class. This is not going to be the end of it. Just go get a mop. And I want you to clean this mess with a mop. And honestly, I do have to say some of the kids in that class were my friends. And even they, I don't know if they will remember this, but it was an uncomfortable situation overall. And it was just the amount of water that was on the floor could have been easily wiped with a paper towel. But still, no, she wanted to, you know, just have me mop it. And so she made me go get a mop. I'm in the middle of class, by the way. This is supposed to be something that takes 5 minutes because I'm missing my half of the class. So I go back to my teacher's room and I'm like, hey, this happened. And I'm clearly distressed. And she was like, just calm down. What's happening? I started crying. And I told her, you know, she's just making me clean up the mess. I'm going to have to go ask for a mop. I don't know where mops are in the school building, but I'm missing your class. I'm like, I'm sorry. I want to learn and I'm missing this because of the situation. And she was like, let it go. Like, don't worry about it. Don't take it personally. Just do it. Just go get the mop then. And I'll talk to the teacher afterwards. So I went across the school to try and find a mop, eventually found one. And by the time that I get to the teacher's class, the class is over. So both classes are over and they're all just there sitting inside the class. They're not letting the other half of my class back into the room because they're all waiting for this spectacle. So I come in with a mop and the teacher literally says, I want everyone to pull their phones off and record this so that she can remember what she's doing. And it was very uncomfortable. I was super embarrassed. I was feeling just humiliated, if we're being honest, and just completely with, you know, at a loss for words. I even now am getting so upset just thinking about it because I'm going back to it and I'm trying not to cry. But it was just fucking horrible. Like, what a horrible human being to do that to a kid. And so some of the kids actually recorded me, but then my friends just went up to them and told them, you need to delete that immediately. And they did. They complied. But nevertheless, it was really bad. And then once that situation happened, you know, I made everything possible to just stay away from that teacher. I didn't want to be in the same room as her, in the same building. I never took the book to be signed again. I asked my teacher, please do not ever put me in that situation again. I'm not comfortable. She said she would talk to the teacher. I'm not sure if she did. It was just a very uncomfortable situation overall. So we left it at that. And then a couple months later, I was just minding my own business. I was going up to my pavilion, and we were having to go up a group of stairs. So I'm going up the stairs, and that teacher, then I see that is coming right behind me. There was something in the stairs that was wet. It was messy. So everyone was like going in carefully, trying not to, you know, fall or whatever. And I was just trying to like get rid of it so that people wouldn't, you know, actually fall. And the teacher looks at me and she starts laughing and she says, oh, there she is, the mop girl again. Okay, well, you know, I don't know how your grades are, but I think you would just be a great janitor. Don't even look for jobs any further. You can just be a janitor. And that was also so offensive, you know, just why, like completely denigrating the task, completely denigrating the career. Like, it was just bad overall. And I got really upset and really emotional again. And the teacher that I had confessed this to previously, she saw me, she asked what happened. And I said, this happened again. And I genuinely don't know what I did to this person because I've never interacted with her before. So she said, you know, there are some people that you just need to know that it's not for you to take personally. She has a lot in her life. She deals with a lot of crap from everyone, and maybe she's just seeing you as a punching bag. And, you know, it really took me some time to understand those words. I was really confused. I was really uncomfortable. But then I really started thinking about that statement, you know, the fact that you don't really know what someone is going through. And then I didn't really think about it for years. And then I started working, and I've now been working since 2013. And I do have to say, I've had the privilege to work with some amazing people. And trust me, the people that I've worked with that are amazing, they know that I think that they are amazing because I've repeated it multiple times. But there were also people in my life that just contributed to overall just feelings of insecurity, and that really installed to a degree some sort of trauma within me. And it's still something that to this day I'm battling with. Sometimes something will happen at work that will trigger a thought that is directly related to the reaction that I know that an old boss of mine would give me. And I immediately feel stressed and feel anxious and feel incompetent and feel like all these horrible feelings. And sometimes it does end up in me having a panic attack. You know, thank God we have been working from home for the past year and a half, because I've been able to have those sort of attacks, you know, in the comfort of my home. Manel has been here for some of them. He has been able to comfort me. I haven't had that much, you know, but it's just, I shouldn't even be having one. You know, always in the back of my mind thinking, why? Why me? Why this? Why? And so this weekend, me and Manel were sitting on our couch and we were watching this interview, Elliot Page's interview with Oprah Winfrey. And at a point, he's talking about, you know, when back before his transition. He had just filmed the Inception movie, and he was on tour promoting the movie internationally. He was having to go to all these different premieres and all these different events, and having to wear a lot of dresses and a lot of heels. And he was like, that I just felt, you know, so deeply disconnected to my body, and that just helped promote that disconnect to, you know, a whole level of discomfort. And he just didn't want to be there. He didn't want to do that, whatever. And he starts crying. He gets emotional in that part. And he even starts laughing at a point. And he's like, you know, oh, there he is crying because he's going to the Oscars and he has to wear a dress. And because, you know, like it's kind of like a ridiculous situation if you put it in that sense. But it is actually totally understandable when you see it from his perspective, which is, well, you know, I was dealing with a lot. That was not me. I didn't feel like myself. I felt like this complete disconnect from my inner being. And that was just so heartbreaking to hear him say that. And I totally identified with that side of things. And that really got me thinking, you know. It's really funny because it really does depend on the side of the story that you're leaning on, and it really does depend on the angle that you're watching. And it kind of took me back to my school situation with my teacher. And then also it brought me back to some of my work encounters since then. The thing is, bullying, I believe, or power trips, if you want to call them, I do truly believe that they stem from a place of insecurity. The truth is, at the end of the day, you never know what's on the other side. You never know what someone is dealing with in their life right now. And the thing is, I've always had my personal life somewhat resolved. I'm accomplished in the sense that, you know, I have a relationship for 13 years. I have family and friends that like me. I know that they know that I like them. And so, you know, I'm kind of like safe there. But there are people, on the other hand, that they don't really have that safety in their personal lives. Maybe they have an unhappy marriage. Maybe they're dealing with something personal in their life that is just like, you know, not really allowing them to be, you know, 100% there. And that gets them frustrated, and they literally need just to release that negative energy. And sometimes that negative energy just unfortunately ends up being directed to you. Now, listen, am I saying that people should be doing this? No. But what I've learned in my life is that sometimes things are not directed to me. They are just directed at me, in the sense that I've learned to distance myself from certain types of comments or certain ways of speaking, because I've simply accepted the fact that sometimes people just need to use someone or something as a punching bag. Sometimes it's just whatever is near, whatever is closest, I'll go with that. And they also tend to look at people who they, not like, I don't want to use the word envy, but that they can see maybe the security that they're eager to have in their life. So they go to that person who has that sense of security personally, and they attack that. So it's kind of like you're then, I would assume that the rationale for this person is like, well, so my personal life is fucked up, but I'm really owning my professional life. This girl's life personally is great. Professionally, she's also not that bad. But because, you know, I can't be whole, so she cannot be whole either. So let me just do this and make her feel insecure about her professional life. So that's kind of like my interpretation of the situations that I've been through. Maybe it's just a need to rebalance the power of life in their eyes. But, you know, I've just really learned to not take it personally. So I think just if you are managing someone, if you want to take this learning with you, you know, just really assessing your work, taking some time, every year to truly evaluate yourself and how you're handling your team. And if you're applying some sort of bias towards anyone, or if there's anything that you can maybe correct in your approach. There was actually a TikTok that I saw the other day, and that's definitely something that I truly identified with, because this is literally my practice, which said, it was this girl that said one of the best management tips that she ever got from her boss was she was told, at the end of the day, when work is done and your team members are going to have dinner with their family, they're going to inevitably talk about work, meaning they're going to talk about you. What do you want them to say? What do you want the messaging, the focus to be on? Do you want it to be, oh my God, like this person keeps stressing me out, doing this, doing that, saying this, saying that? Or do you want to be the supportive one, the caring one, the one that prioritizes them and their mental health? And I mean, for me, that's a no-brainer. But for some people, it may be not. And maybe, you know, just a good challenge for everyone to really do this exercise at work. I'm not pointing fingers, so don't even come at me. I'm just literally saying, I think this is a good exercise for everyone. And outside of that, honestly, take courses. There are so many available resources. And you know, when I first became a manager, I went with my gut, I went with my heart, and the first associate, the first team member that I got to train 100%, you know, from start of her career until, you know, I think we worked a year and a half together. I taught her everything I could, but based on gut, based on heart, based on just, you know, a lot of innocence, I think. I think it ended up being a good thing. But, you know, from there, as I started managing more people and just overall different types of people, it's really important just to study about it, just to read about it, do your research. Managing people is crucial in every work environment, really, even at home, if you have, you know, someone coming in to like clean your house or help in whatever capacity, you need to know how to take care of people that are working for you. And I just really challenge everyone to just like learn more about what it really means to be a manager for a team, what it really means to be responsible for a team. Let me just search it. It's from NR Narayana Murthy. I'm not sure I'm saying the name correctly. It was said in 2013. I started working in 2013. I'm pretty sure that I read this quote for the first time probably to 2014 or 15. It was after I started working, you know, things at my job weren't going greatly. I wasn't truly feeling appreciated or valued or what have you. And I read this quote because someone had asked me, you know, why should you be here? And I was so confused at the question. You know, it just made no sense. But yeah, then I remember just typing in because I was truly so confused about, you know, just the overall approach of the situation was honestly, it didn't really make sense in my eyes. And it made it seem like people were dispensable. Does that make sense? Is that a word? Is just, you know, like they were truly, you know, oh, what, you don't fit all our boxes? It's okay. We'll find another one of you exactly like you that can do exactly what you're doing tomorrow. You're not special. Don't think of yourself as special. And that was kind of like the approach. And I was so upset that afternoon at work that I literally started Googling quotes about the importance of management. And that's when I really became passionate about just overall managing people. And the quote said, our assets walk out of the door each evening. We have to make sure that they come back the next morning. And that quote for me is just always struck, has been part of my motto, part of my way of working since then. And something that I will just leave you with. And yeah, if you have any experiences or lessons that you would like to share with me, your point of view in things, your opinion, whatever it is, you can do so by going on my Instagram and just IMing me. But yeah, that was all that I had for today. So I hope you enjoyed this episode and I'll talk to you again next week. Bye.